What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
It's been cold. I'm not a baby with this stuff, but it's been a little bit too sub for me. And I don't know, I'm feeling it a little bit today. But it is Canada. Let's just say that. It is the end of January. We can't look forward to the end of it yet. And there's still lots to look forward to for the rest of the NHL season as well. And it is a winter sport, so let's embrace it.
This is the insight that we expect from Victoria. All that she just said about this being Canada, hockey's a winter sport.
You shush.
Bucks and Seven. Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash. Follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, or on X, I guess. I always say Twitter. Available, too, on the SiriusXM app, wherever you get your podcasts. Rachel Toss will join us later on. We'll talk about the Avalanche that, what happened on Friday night? That huge trade involving Mikko Rantanen. He was the biggest part. Vic and I will address that in a sec, but we'll talk to Rachel more about that. Talk about the Avalanche, go 77 seconds in with Rachel as well. And we'll go to the East in a little bit. But let's begin in the West, Vic, before we get to the Avalanche deal and Carolina and all that. No surprise, this is another great insight. 28th of January, Edmonton is right where they're supposed to be, sitting atop that Pacific Division. It was only a matter of time. It was a lot different than last season. Last season, they got off to a terrible start, fired the coach, new coach came in. We all know they almost won that Stanley Cup. This season, not off to a great start. Nobody thought about firing the coach. That's fine. This is a very good team, and they slowly, in fact, I'm going to change that. They have really rapidly risen up the standings. So no surprise, they're in top spot in that Pacific.
Thank goodness they survived that McDavid suspension.
Oh, yes.
Phew! I know we were really worried about that
was
three games. The way that the league in general reacted to that, it's like we actually put McDavid on the shelf for 25 games. It was a complete overreaction. But the Edmonton Oilers, credit to the rest of the very good players on that team, one in particular, who's going to win the Rocket, credit to the rest of them for going 2-1 when the best player in the world is sitting out. Of course, you're still going to be a lesser team. They still got it done. It's not only Draisaitl these days, Ryan. Hyman is looking more Hyman-esque again. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is contributing again. And you want to say something about their goaltending right now.
Yeah, so Stuart Skinner, his wife gave birth on Monday. Mm-hmm. So Edmonton, the right thing to do, gave him some time off, obviously, to be with the newborn. And mom and the newborn are doing fine. But Calvin Pickard, great story. He is 13-4 on the season. And I mentioned just when we started this podcast that Edmonton quietly was moving up in the standings, but they've been pretty rapid doing it. I didn't know Calvin Pickard was 13-4 on this game, 9-1 in his last 10 games. I'm telling you, with all due respect to Stuart Skinner, the way that Pickard's been playing, the way Edmonton's playing right now, I'm going to throw this question to you. Who would you start in goal in game one if the postseason began tonight? Who would it be?
Wow. Is Skinner still home with his baby?
No.
Because that makes it a little bit easier.
Take the baby aside. See,
take the baby out of it.
The hesitation meant, I think you're thinking about Calvin.
Because I'm still Skinner.
You're still, okay.
Yes, because he is still your number one. I don't think you want to mess with the mentality and the emotions between the pipes between both of them by playing too many games there to start. Now, if Skinner rolls out and doesn't perform well.
Lays an egg. Right.
Okay. Then we can have a conversation about throwing Pickard in there. But today, it's nice to have him, though. It's sort
it
of
is.
The opposite with what's going on with Winnipeg, where Eric Comrie can't win a game for those guys. And he's actually played rather well. The Jets just don't score when Eric Comrie's in net. So it's interesting to see the Oilers pull it out when their backup is between the pipes. And that's a very, very, that's a very healthy way to play this game when you are, again, looking at a long run in the postseason.
Edmonton's won 11 of 14, 22-6-1, Vic, in their last 29 games, which is incredible. Would have been cool, too, not that I like injuries, but say, for example, last night Calvin Pickard went out or he was done after the second, didn't feel so good, and he didn't play in the third. Alberta goalie Tyler Palmer, he was signed to an amateur tryout contract on Monday. That would have been kind of cool to see him.
Those stories are always fun. They're always fun. Yeah.
Edmonton, great story. This is a tough story. It's a respectful one. Time about JT Miller. Mm-hmm. He took some time off, of course, earlier on the season to get refocused off the ice. He's a dad to three kids. He said this the other day because when he's asked all the time, how are you feeling? It's tough going out every single game, mm-hmm. every single night, wondering, is this going to be my last game? Where am I going to be playing tomorrow? Is it going to be in Vancouver? Is it going to be somewhere else? He said, look, I'm a dad. I'm a husband, a father of three kids. He said, yeah, it's hard. This is very tough. But I, Vic, really give him a ton of credit for how he is handling this. We can only imagine how tough this is for this guy.
I would have a lot of difficulty managing this. Well, I'm a nervous wreck in life just in general, so I can't even imagine being in this situation. I hate change.
Yes, you do.
So even anticipating a change out of, you know, the team I'm playing for away from the city I've been living in for quite some time now, that would just, I don't even know how. Anyway, we're built differently, and one of us is not built mentally like a professional athlete. Guess which one? Anywho, full credit to JT Miller. I have heard from enough players and coaches and those around the game who are intimate with it that they do insist once you're on the ice, you do tune it out.
Sure.
You're distracted even in the team meetings and in the minutes before puck drop and at breakfast in the morning and before you take your afternoon nap. You're distracted at those points. But once you're actually on the ice, and he got into a fight the other day, which was sort of, he said yes to Brady Shen,
right? Yeah.
And he had the stuffing knocked out of him pretty quickly, but he dealt with, I don't love that stuff, but I do like the fact that he said yes to it. He still wants to rally his teammates, even if he's not playing there tomorrow. He's still all in. I really like JT Miller. I always have. When he's at his best, he's a game changer. We all know that on the score sheet, but also otherwise. So it will be interesting to see how this works itself out. I think everybody's in agreement that either Pettersson or Miller, one of them is not going to be playing for the Canucks in the next couple of weeks or so. They have to get this done before Four Nations too, by the way.
They do.
I wonder which direction it's going to take, because it's just been, but they have to, something has to happen here. It does.
I think based on the body language, and to your point about Miller fighting Shen the other night, mm-hmm. and it was just, hey, I'll accept it. And yes, he did get clogged pretty quickly in that fight. That's him basically saying to, or trying to tell teams, you know, I still have a lot to give. And despite all the stuff I'm going through off the ice and potentially being dealt any minute of any single day, mm-hmm. I'm still good. I can contribute. So I think it has to be JT Miller. I really do. And that's not, you know, are you keeping the better
doesn't
player?
Doesn't seem to be the market for him, though, Ryan. Yeah. We're hearing that there's just that what Vancouver wants in return.
Well,
and
the
there's
ask
just some...
is big. Yeah,
the ask is big, and teams are a little trepidatious about taking him on because he's such a big personality on and off the ice. You have to know how to handle him. But on the upside, Canucks won two in a row for the first time in a really long time, in an embarrassing long time. It's been more recent than that. But they won two in a row, and you could, before you win three or four in a row, you need to win two. So it's a start of some sort.
On Friday night, a huge trade went down in the NHL, and everybody, I'm sure, listening to this has already seen and heard about it. We'll talk about this more with Rachel Tosin a bit. She'll join us, and she covers the Colorado Avalanche. But just in case you forgot and you don't remember, Colorado, Carolina, and Chicago all involved in the deal, and it was really a small one with Chicago, but the big ones were Colorado and Carolina. The big name, Mikko Rantanen, three-team trade to Carolina. And Colorado again, Marty Natchez and Jack Drury, second-round pick in this year's draft, fourth rounder in 26. The Canes then getting Taylor Hall from Chicago in the trade as well. This was a huge, huge, huge trade. This was we were texting, and you said to me something like, "Oh, I was up for 2 hours after I saw the deal go through."
Yeah, because I was reading all the analysis, and my head was spinning with it, and I was trying to figure out the different configurations, who's going to play with who, and how are they going to manage, and who's going to fit in on what power play, and all of that. I was sick on Friday. You remember, I was a flummy mess, and so I went to bed super early, and then I woke up, and a couple of our listeners texted me, "Hey, Vic, what do you think about the trade?"
Yeah,
I had no idea what they were talking about. I went on, and I'm expecting fourth liner for third round pick or, you know, something relatively innocuous. And then I read, and you had to read it like four times to make sure it was real. It's like, who's telling me this? Are these real people? And then head spinning after that. So definitely if not the biggest I've covered or we've covered in season. It's certainly top two, top three, no question about it. Do you like it? I like it.
Yeah, I do. I'm just trying to figure out from the Avalanche's point of view, from what I understand, and from it's pretty obvious they were going to be unable to handle a bunch of players under the cap, like a Rantanen and like a MacKinnon. And, and so they thought, well, if we can't come to terms on that, they were talking recently, then we'll have to trade him now. Mika Rantanen came out the other day and said he was shocked by how fast this happened because he thought he had, you know, they have till March. Deadline's coming up. They have a few more weeks to talk. And he said, too, he was willing to take a discount to stay in Colorado.
He said that in the Finnish press, yes.
So this is that's the only thing that I don't quite understand about the whole thing. What made McFarland do this so quickly if they're still talking about things? And did he not know that Rantanen said, I'll take a bit of a discount? I'd find that very hard to believe.
Because he got the offer he wanted, Ryan. He got the offer he wanted. And if you're not going to risk it, also, what's a hometown discount? $5? Right? Like, is it significant or not?
No, it would be...
No, if he was asking $414, he's going to re-sign there for 11? 10? No.
11 and a half, 12 maybe?
Yeah, oh,
I
would, okay.
I think so. I think so. All right. So. Anyway, the question is now, well, that's Rachel is Colorado, can Colorado win a cup without Mika Rantanen? That's a big question.
Marty Natchez looks all right so far.
Yeah, I know. I know. And he's up for a contract soon too, right? So anyway, big deal, huge trade. It takes some you-know-what to make that type of deal, and the Avalanche did. Who wants second wild card spot in the West? Anybody? Anybody?
Well, the Flames wanted a little bit more than anybody. Yeah, right. The Flames wanted a little bit more than anybody else right now. I think we can say that because they're the ones who are sitting in it. But everybody just seems to be wobbling back and forth a little bit here. And I'm looking at one team in particular going, what are you doing, St. Louis? St. Louis, it's right there. It's right there, man. And the Calgary Flames are still in some sort of retool, rebuild. They got rid of everybody last year.
They did.
A lot of pundits don't think they're quite not well constructed enough to give this a good charge. And I agree with that too. Future's bright. We're not there yet. So St. Louis is still a very well constructed, boring in my mind, like super, in terms of there's no superstar on the team.
No, they're boring, Vic. Yeah. I mean, that's, okay. that's the word to use. Yes.
Ryan said it, not me. And why St. Louis isn't just going out there and grabbing this spot? Because they're not winning hockey games either. So you're
lost
like,
three in a row.
Is Utah out of this? I don't know. The Flames are right there. We can't just, we've just been talking about Vancouver. Vancouver's right there. Or do they turn things around? They're the most talented team of the bunch. So when you look at the East and there's all these teams clamoring for the wild card spots, and it almost feels like in the West, nobody wants the last one. It's just, there's a totally different feeling.
Well, why would you? Because you're going to play the Jets in the first round. That's going to be a quick exit. Probably.
Still the playoffs. Anything can happen.
The Blues, though, what's against them as well is that Vancouver has two games in hand on them. Mm-hmm. Calgary has three games in hand on them. They're tied in games with Colorado, but we're not talking about the Avalanche. They're well ahead of St. Louis by 10 points, Brent. I'm with you with that. It doesn't matter. Just get in. And if you lose in the first, whatever. The fact is, as you said, it's the postseason. And you just got to get in. So if whoever takes the wild card in the second spot, as of now, and more than likely this will be the way it's going to be. Well, maybe not, because Edmonton is on a run. Maybe they'll be the top seed in the West. But as of right now, they'll take on Winnipeg. And as of right now, Vic, in fact, since the beginning of the season, the Vezina Trophy is Connor Hellebuck's to lose. I do not see as good as a lot of these goalies are in Washington. Logan Thompson's playing well. Jake Ottinger's doing his thing in Dallas. But nobody has had the consistency and has had the numbers from night one that Hellebuyck has had.
It's a bit boring, isn't it?
It kind of is, yeah. Can somebody give him a challenge, please?
I cover, as you know, I cover future bets on the regular for ESPN.com. And so I get to look at these different scenarios. And I was trying to convince myself that there was an argument to be made for another goaltender to challenge Hellebuyck for the Vezina in the NHL. And I couldn't convince myself, even with excellent odds. You know what? What Logan Thompson has been accomplishing recently has been fantastic. Right. Darcy Kemper's been really good. Other goaltenders have also played well. Hellebuyck has 6 shutouts.
Yeah.
He has just so many more wins than anybody else.
Yep.
Any minute that he's shown a little bit of wobble, he rebounds so quickly you forget about it in a blink of an eye. He's been just the most consistent performer that It's almost, unless, honestly, unless he just blows something out tomorrow, knock wood, it doesn't happen. Unless something tragic falls here, then I can't see anybody else. There's going to be two other nominees mentioned. It'll be pat on the back. Yeah, you had a good season too, but it's definitely his to lose.
He, 37-2, 2.02 goals against, 926 save percentage.
He that is just the number of games he's played. That's just...
He's played 39. He played 60 a season ago. Mm-hmm. And last season, he went 37-19-0-4. Mm-hmm. So that was impressive. So in his goals against last season, and maybe this is incomparable to the way that the Jets are playing this season, which is better, even though they had a great year last year, but it was 2.39. So he has shaved off 0.37% on his goals against at this time right now. So if he's got a ways to go, but imagine he gets the goals against at the end of the season below 2. Imagine.
It's 2.02. Not impossible. We've seen Carey Price do it. Right? We have seen others do it, but it would be quite a feat. Absolutely.
We'll talk Drew Doughty in a second. Alex Pietrangelo, the Four Nations is coming up, and guys are dropping out because of injuries, etc.
Singular guy.
Okay.
So far, this is important, Ryan.
Yes.
Okay, it's Tuesday, January 28th, and Alex Pietrangelo has decided not to participate in the Four Nations for Team Canada. He wants to deal with some ailment over the break. We don't understand exactly what that means. Yes, everybody is aware he played over 20 minutes a night after he made this announcement for the Vegas Golden Knights. Optics of that, not so great, but... Yeah. Alex Pietrangelo is a 35-year-old grown man who has represented his country well in the past. He can make whatever decisions he likes. I would have preferred for him to have this conversation with Team Canada, say 2 months ago, so he wasn't named in the first place, and we don't find ourselves having these discussions. I would much rather it had been smoothly than that.
I don't think that's a thing. You can't have that conversation 2 months ago. You can't think 2 months from now, 2 months ago, how you'd be feeling.
You can't?
I don't know. I mean, I get what you're saying. I get it.
He played 24 minutes a night the other night. I love Alex Pietrangelo. I am not
absolutely.
I'm not pleased as punch about how this is falling out. And I really do hope it doesn't set the precedent. And it's still just guy we're talking about. Somebody who was pulled out. Not because they're not injured. Like William Karlsson is hurt.
He's hurt.
He's not playing.
Jacob Markstrom hurt.
Okay, they're not playing. Yeah. They're hurt. Yeah. So you can understand that they might have to sit out this tournament, and they're probably not going to be too happy about it. Alex Pietrangelo is playing right now, so it's a different story. I don't want to see more players drop out. I'm also, my last bit on this, I swear to you, Ryan Payton, I'm not going to bring it up every single podcast. I'm tired of the miserable approach by some members of the fan base and even members of the media who just want to use this to knock a tournament because it isn't the Olympics and calling it a glorified all-star game. I'm sick of that nonsense. We understand what it is. We understand it's only 4 teams. It's still best on best hockey, which we have been craving for years. Can we please enjoy it? It's the same people who knock the outdoor games, Ryan. It drives me crazy. Stop being miserable. Be happy. Yeah. This is fun.
It's always going to be that way, and I agree with you, and I'm glad you feel you even though you don't look like you feel good right now, I know you feel better because I know you got that off. But I agree with you. Just leave it alone. Enjoy it for what it is.
You don't want to watch it. Don't watch
There's going to be more players that will drop out at some point before the
formations. I hope not too many.
I know. I hope not too. I agree, because then you kind of lose that, as you said, best on best from these Sweden, Finland, the US, and Canada. Last one. So Pietrangelo out. Hey, Drew Doughty, you want to come in? Absolutely. Drew Doughty.
He sure does.
Drew Doughty's been wanting to return to the Kings the moment that he hurt himself all those months ago.
Yeah,
I remember
true.
When we were down in LA, I saw him coming out of the locker room, and he still had a boot on. He looked in great shape. He was joking around. Dennis Bernstein, who you and I both know very well, he was saying that every time he talks to Drew, he said, I just want to get back. I wanted to get back yesterday. I wanted to get back 10 days ago. And word is, he's going to get back at some point this week in Florida, which is fantastic. But now he says, look, if someone's not playing, I'd love to play.
Can I play?
He's got all this energy.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
Pick me. And he's actually come out and said, I don't want the break. I want to go out and represent my country. I want to get back to you. I understand that. I understand it feels a little bit different when you're rested and you're champing at the bit. I totally understand that.
It feels a lot different.
But he's also a veteran He's also a veteran defenseman who's smart enough to realize a little extra time off is going to help him and the Kings perhaps play better down the stretch, chasing down a playoff spot as well. It's not like he's on a team that isn't pursuing that. So I have a lot of respect for Drew Doughty coming out publicly saying, please sign me up. I want to play.
And the Kings are playing well, and he's going to be a huge addition mm-hmm. when he gets back again, supposedly at some point this week, either in Sunrise against the Panthers or in Tampa against the Lightning. That's the Western story. We'll readdress all this, the rant and trade specifically. Rachel Toss will join us later on. We'll talk Avalanche with her. We'll go 77 seconds in with Rachel as well. We'll go East. Logan Thompson, Nikita Kucherov. Don't even... Oh, you went off about the Four Nations and people leaving that alone. I have a lot to say about Kucherov.
Sounds good.
Bucks and seven. Ryan Payne, Tori Mavich. We'll be back.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Madiash.
All right, we went west. We are going to go east, and then we're going to go back to the west. Yes, we're kind of confusing you, but it'll all make sense. Rachel Toz will join us. We'll dive into the Avalanche, talk about the trade again. We'll go 77 seconds in with Rachel. She covers the Avalanche, of course, for Colorado. And she will join us in about 15 in change from now. Talk Toronto Maple Leafs, go to Ottawa. Dominic Schoen with a great story, that is. So we'll talk about that in a second. But let's begin with that nice deal. I think it's a friendly deal for both sides, specifically for the Capitals. Logan Thompson having a great campaign. We'll talk about Connor Hellebuyck. It's the Vezina Trophy for his to lose, yes. Logan Thompson, if he continues this, which I think he will, he'll get a nice mention. Jay Bottinger getting a nice mention too, but it's Hellebuck's trophy to lose. He signs that deal, so he's locked in. Many thanks to this great season he's had. He, to me, Vic, is one of, he's one of my most favorite goaltenders.
Oh, he is definitely right now. We should mention 6 years, almost $6 million per.
Yep.
It's something in that territory. It is a team-friendly deal if we're looking
5.85.
At... Okay, so yeah. Almost $6 million a year.
Yep.
It is a team-friendly deal right now, especially if you're going to anticipate the salary cap rising as much as we are, let's say, right. In the next 3, 4, 5 years. This could end up being a real bargain. I like the security that he secured for himself and his family because he was making under $1 million,
yes.
Which, you know, by our standards is lots of money, and by NHL right. goaltending standards, a little less so. So congratulations to Thompson. I do. You mentioned you like this for both sides. So do I.
I
think
do.
He's going to appreciate the security. He now knows where he is, and the Washington Capitals have their number one goaltender. You know, fingers crossed, nothing goes wrong, locked up for the next 6 years.
And 5.85, 6 year at 35.1. I think that's an awesome
It's a
deal.
Little lower than I anticipated, but I think
yeah,
he wanted
too.
The term. So they
me
probably
too.
Would have preferred maybe 4 or 5 years, and he got the 6, or
right.
maybe for a little less. And I don't mind how that cookie crumbles at all.
Third in the league at 22-2-3. Third in the league in NHL wins. Second in goals against among goalies to play at least 15 games. Third in save percentage. Capitals first in goals against per game at 2.37. It's just incredible what he's done. And he doesn't get lost in the whole thing. But, you know, there's Ovechkin doing what he's doing in Washington, and Spencer Carberry, coach of the year candidate behind the bench. The team is just phenomenal. But you got to have goaltending. You really do. And he's been great. So he's locked up again. 6 years, $35.1 million. Both Vic and I agree that's a nice, nice deal for both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, the Capitals. Back to that trade quickly. I know I said we'd revisit it with Rachel, which we will. But Carolina Hurricanes, with the addition of Mikko Rantanen, and word is, too, that they're going to start a talk of an extension and get him signed, hopefully, in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Carolina Hurricanes now more of a legit contender than they were before that deal?
I think you have to say yes, and this
you
is with
to.
Full
you
with full
to.
Respect to what Marty Natchez has accomplished this season, and that was
yeah.
the big piece, obviously, exiting Carolina for Colorado, because he's having a career year. We can't take anything away from that, and we can talk about that a little bit more. But the fact that you're bringing in a top 10 scorer, somebody who
yep.
has been consistent year over year over year.
One of the top players in the game.
Not just one of the top players in the game. Cup winner, knows how to
yep.
win a Stanley Cup. That's proven.
Yep.
He was a vital cog of that team that won the Stanley Cup that season. So when you package that all together, my only question is how is he going to look? And I know he wants to play with Sebastian Aho, and they've been buddies since high school, and there's the childhood history and all of that.
Yeah.
How is he going to play away from Nathan MacKinnon? Because wingers are better playing with Nathan MacKinnon.
You and I would be fantastic playing with Nathan MacKinnon.
I'd be at least competent.
Right? Yeah.
Depending on strength of competition, but let me just say, I'm going to be a better player on the ice if I'm playing with Nathan MacKinnon. So, and it's a different style. It's much looser playing with him. So we're going to see. Mikko Rantanen has not played with another NHL team ever since he was drafted. So we'll see how he adjusts. I don't imagine the numbers will be quite the same. They don't need to be. The Carolina Hurricanes are that much better with him there, or are better. I'm not going to say that much better, but they are better with him there.
Yes.
I also like the emotional boost here. The fact that ownership and management has, you know, said, I know that we haven't gotten it done in the postseason in the past.
Let's
I believe in this team, and we're making it count for real. Yeah. So I like that too.
You got to make those moves and make these bold moves. And I think it is in that you're right. It sends a message, and there's so much about the mental aspect of the game. And this is a huge message to the Carolina Hurricanes. You mentioned about a winger playing with MacKinnon. You can be a great winger in the league, but a lot of times the great wingers in the league are because of who they have in the middle. And Rantanen, as you said, played with MacKinnon, and the two of them were dynamite. We'll talk to Rachel about what this means for MacKinnon too, right? Because he was obviously quite upset, kind of a little bit, you know, disturbed by the whole thing about him being let go. But the last number of years for Mikko Rantanen, 23-24, 104 points, 22-23, 105 points, 21-22, 92 points, 52-42 goals the last couple of seasons. So the guy knows how to do it. He had 64 points this season for Colorado. You mentioned if Rantanen was the key cog for Colorado in helping them. Is Gabriel Landeskog going to be the key cog when he gets back?
Oh, my goodness.
It's been... Thank you. Are the Penguins toast? My answer is yes, after last night's loss to San Jose.
I think so.
Fire sale. Crosby's going nowhere, but outside of that, put everyone on the market.
Do we know that for sure?
Yes,
do we know for sure?
Yes, okay. We do. I'll just say that. Yes.
I get excited at prospects of there was just so much chatter about Sidney Crosby perhaps going somewhere else that I did get a little overly excited about that Friday into Saturday. That's another reason I was up for 2 hours thinking about where he was going to go. Now with Malkin out, and I know Evgeny Malkin hasn't been the same Evgeny Malkin of old, but he's still Malkin. And now the fact that he's out for an indeterminate period of time and he hasn't been well for a while. Other members of that team is banged up. They have goaltending issues. It feels pretty done. There's only one other team I'm poking at in the East right now is being done. That's the Sabres, but I think the Penguins are joining them very quickly.
Let me throw these numbers at you. And again, you're not completely done until you're mathematically eliminated from postseason.
Well, okay.
No, you're not officially done until you're mathematically eliminated. But yes, for us, they're done. I mean, San Jose's done. Chicago's done. Anaheim's done. So right now, the Penguins trail the Jackets and Lightning by 7 points. Boston by 8. All the teams have games in hand. Tampa has 4. Columbus has 2. With 60 possible points remaining for the Penguins, they have 30 games to go. That means they must get about 42 of the 60 points just to get to 90. And hoping the 6 teams will kind of chug along at 500, that is a 700 winning percentage.
And you're going to do this with Nedeljkovic and Blomqvist?
No, it's not going to happen.
I don't believe you are. It's not even necessarily the points and all the very scary arithmetic that you just unraveled. It's also the number of teams ahead of them.
Exactly.
So they're catching Montreal and Ottawa and Boston and the Lightning and the Rangers and the Flyers.
So many times in hockey. Hey, you know what? You're only 7-8 points back. Oh, right. But there's 7 teams that you've got to leapfrog.
It's hurdling is a big part of it as well. And they're just it's unfortunate because any time that Sidney Crosby isn't playing in the postseason, it does feel a little lesser to me. But the team's just not good enough. That's all there is to it.
You know, one of the sports I was good at when I was younger, the 110 hurdles. Just wanted to throw that out because you mentioned hurdling.
You're built like a gazelle. It doesn't surprise me in the slightest.
I was just flying over those.
You know who wasn't good at that?
You.
That's right. We all have our strengths. Hurdling things is not one of them.
Yeah. Let's move on. Nikita Kucherov, Tampa Bay, again, one of the marquee players in the game, one of the best players in the game today, and he's been this way from the get-go, and he'll go down in history as one of the better players in the game. He's very quietly a dirty player. And it's not just because of what happened the other night against Detroit. You've seen these small things before.
He's jammy, I'll give you that.
Yeah, he's a bit jammy, and nobody seems to do... He looks mean, like, a lot of the time, like, when he's playing. Like, he looks like he's gonna, you know, go out and kill somebody or something. But I thought what he did, Vic, the other night was absolutely inexcusable. The league, I don't know if they've talked to him, but John Cooper, somebody should have said something to him after, saying, what are you doing? That was a deliberate intent to injure that I've seen in a while. I thought it was
okay. We should mention what happened. So he hauled down Michael Rasmussen when he was on, what are we going to call it? A breakaway for an empty net?
Breakaway, basically. Empty net goal, yes.
Okay. And Kucherov chased him down behind him and tripped him. Now keep in mind, I'm sorry.
Why
I laughed. I laughed at the time because it just looked ridiculous. Okay. Yeah. It just looked ridiculous. I am not laughing in excusing this behavior. Of course it's poor behavior and it should be disciplined. I'm also very, very happy that Michael Rasmussen is okay, because there was some talk about he might have been a little bit banged up from that, but it seems like he's all right and he's good to go, you know, moving forward. So thank goodness. But it was just so
inexcusable.
So silly.
And you know what really bugged me? You know how
it was incredibly childish.
You know,
because
it's
not accomplishing anything.
Right.
Right.
We were talking about, you know, media or people just, you know, because Petrangelo decided to not go to the Four Nations, that everyone's talking about again. Oh, blah, 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 blah. What drove me crazy was that, oh, Kucherov was ticked off about how the team is playing.
He's a fierce competitor. Yes.
It's fine. I don't care if you're ticked. You don't do that. You don't do
I
that.
Agree with
if that
you.
Happened, if that, what? Anyway,
it was
no
still
point
kind
even
of
talking
funny
more
though.
About it.
Do you know what? You know what else? Another reason I laughed at it a little bit, because it wasn't a cross check to the face. It was nice to see something silly for once that wasn't completely and totally injurious.
I don't think that's silly at all.
I do. The optics of it looked ridiculous.
He was knew what he was doing, and he was very sly and cheeky at it, and he was lucky he got away with something. Didn't get his head. But anyway, I don't know if the two teams play again. No idea, but if they do, better watch out. Speaking of Detroit, from that story to this story, Dominic Schine. I was reading about this, and we love to talk about this type of stuff on this podcast. So at 31 years of age, back on Monday, 31, he made his NHL debut for Detroit. They beat the Kings 5-2. He's been in the AHL for 8 seasons. Mm-hmm. This is his 8th season. And since this whole time, he's now the oldest skater to make his debut since 2015, the oldest Red Wing, Vic, since 1977. Vaclav Nadimansky did it at 33. I love this stuff.
Me too, because here's a professional hockey player. He has earned his keep, supported his family on an AHL salary, year after year after year after year. At that point, you're probably telling yourself it ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? Because if it hasn't, they haven't called by now. Why are they going to call?
Right.
But they did call. And it was neat listening to his wife talk with their small son and how thrilled. Watching the families watch these performances, even if it's just the one cup of coffee and you never do it again, it is so incredibly special. I mean, you can just, I never get sick of it. I'm never going to get tired of it. It's just, it's so lovely always to watch, because here are the people who have supported that player since basically forever, and they get to enjoy it all together. But what one thing that I just think it's not, and it's not funny, because and hopefully he gets another opportunity, but his parents missed out.
Yeah,
on the debut.
They were in Maui or something on
they're
Sunday
in Hawaii
night. Yeah,
so you just think this is probably an awesome trip. Who knows, hopefully they go to Hawaii all the time, but if not, maybe this trip of a lifetime, this wonderful break, you know, from the winter weather, because he's a local kid too, right?
Yeah.
And then you're stuck and you actually miss out and you can't get back in time, because you know the flight from Hawaii is going to take a little bit too long to get back and watch it. But I do hope he gets another chance, another couple of chances, and his parents, who obviously were supreme supporters of his, get an opportunity as well. But it was a lot. He didn't score, but he but the Wings won, and that's a big deal. So he has a W under his NHL Sox.
He said that one of his the great moments was his son Cooper, who was on the behind the glass looking at him, and he gave him a fist bump, and he said just to see him smile made it all worth it. And I think he was in the car taking him to get either his skates sharpened or taking his son to a practice or something to do with hockey. He gets a call around 10:30 a.m. and he says, yeah, you're playing. And he just, I mean, imagine.
Just imagine. Just imagine.
Okay, we'll do two more. We'll talk Ottawa in a second. First, though, let's go into Toronto. The Leafs, they have all this offense. I know they have some injuries with Tavares and they have a bunch of others, et cetera, stuff like that. But they have the Matthews and the Nylander and the Marners, and the list goes on and on and on. But they're just not scoring. Everyone said that the way that they're playing is different under Craig Berube, and it is, than Sheldon Keefe. It absolutely is. It's more of a defensive kind of game and more of a shutdown structure kind of style, which is different than Sheldon Keefe. But the goal scoring, Vic, is substantially down. This type of hockey, for argument's sake, can probably win you more games than you would lose in the postseason. But are we kind of looking at thinking, hey, maybe they need to try to figure out to put some more pucks into that net?
I wonder. I'm a big proponent of it if it ain't broke. And right now they're still winning hockey games. And
right,
they seem to be
yeah.
buying into Berube's system. Yeah. I think another thing to look forward to, there are going to be some healthy bodies coming back. Stolarz looks like he's going to be ready to go. I wonder how the team plays a little bit differently, perhaps consciously or not, in front of Stolarz as they have in front of Wall and then Hildeby.
So you think that they're more comfortable then in front of Stolarz?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know, but I'm looking forward to seeing how they react to him, because Wall has played well, but he hasn't played as well as Stolarz played before.
Hasn't played as well.
Yeah. I set you up for that. Oh, Ryan.
Yes.
Okay, back on track.
Let me just read some stats quickly.
Yes.
So they're averaging 3.08 goals per game this season. Last season, 3.63.
Season before, that's a big gap.
Yeah. Season before, 3.39. Season before, 3.8. So 3.08, it's a bit of a gap. And you're right, it's a different style under Sheldon Keefe. But nonetheless, I'm with you. They're still winning. That's fine.
And what style wins in the postseason? What style wins in the postseason, Ryan?
Yep,
right?
The style.
It's not the ones who put up six and seven a night. It's the ones that who could play solid defensively. Those are the ones who survive.
And I agree with you. They do play differently in front of behind Stolarz. Mm-hmm. They do. And it's just okay. Last one. What about the Ottawa Senators?
Ottawa Senators?
It's great to have as many Canadian teams in postseason contention as you can. I mean, look, it's been a long time. It's been since 93. It's been since Montreal beat LA in 93. Let's go. Let's finally. And we were so close last year. I say we, as in Canada. The Sens are third in the Atlantic Division at this point. Are we still comfortable with kind of where they're moving and where they're going to be by the end of the season?
No, but it's fun. And Ullmark is coming back.
Right.
But it's fun, right? Uh-huh. No, yes. I still think that there's that, particularly defensively, I think that there's that extra step as a whole, I mean defensively, not necessarily just the makeup of the blue line. I don't think they're quite there. I think this is super fun. It was neat to watch them win and enjoy some success, even when Brady Kachuk was not scoring, because I think he won 9 games in a row without registering a point. And that's very unlike him, and he's already snapped out of it. He scored the other night. But the fact that the team rallied together and still whipped off a few W's here, I think that speaks volumes. I think they're going to be in it to the end. Whether they actually land there, I'm not 100% sold yet. But that's also because of who else that they're battling, you know, for that spot.
They have a tough couple games coming up. Thursday they have Washington, then Saturday they have Minnesota. And you're looking at what they've done in this month. When they lose, they don't look very good. I mean, sometimes teams look good and they lose, but they don't look good. They lost.
I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean.
4-0 to the Blues early in January. 4-2 to Dallas. Again, Dallas is a good team. Then they lose 4-0 to Buffalo on the 9th. Then they come back and they
the derision with you said that Buffalo glory.
They beat Pittsburgh. You and I could beat Pittsburgh. They beat Dallas, beat the Islanders. Then they lose a tight one to Washington, and then they kind of go back and forth. Beat a good team, decent team in Boston. Beat New Jersey. Then they lose 5-0. They lose 2-0. Then they win 2-1. So they've been consistently inconsistent this month. They're a tough team to play against, but I'm with you. I don't know. I don't know if they, by the time game 80 or game 81 comes, I don't know if they'll be close.
They don't have an identity. That's exactly it. You don't know. You don't know what to expect from them night in and night out. So, but they are definitely, they're like the Flames. They're tracking in the right direction. And I think they're going to be a little bit better next year, but right now we'll see.
All right, we'll take a break and we will come back. Rachel Taws will join us. We'll dive back into the Avalanche, talk more about that trade. Pucks of Seven, Ryan Payne, Victoria Maniach. Rachel is next.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Maddiash.
Back, Ryan Payne, Victoria Maniash, Pucks in Seven. We are pleased to be joined by Rachel Taws, reporter, producer, host for The Avalanche, and Victoria's clapping. I just gotta tell you, Rachel, she's never clapped before like this, so you are something special already. Host on Altitude TV. Rachel, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Of course. Well, thank you guys for having me. This is very exciting. I'm doing well. Like I just mentioned to you off camera, enjoying not working this road trip, but also having a little bit of FOMO to not be around and in depth with all of the rants and the news, right? Having to look at it from an outsider perspective has felt a little strange, but
One of the reasons where we feel really lucky to have you, because the biggest trade that both Ryan and I can remember for quite some time, in season at least. Off season, there've been some biggies, but in season, this is one. This was definitely one for the ages. I'm sure you were like the rest of us, checking your phone over and over and over again when it went down, going, "Really? Really?
I didn't do that. What are you talking about? I didn't do that."
Yeah,
we were. I was at a friend's house having dinner. It's like one of the first Fridays I've had free in a while. I was really looking forward to it. Friend cooked for me. Was sitting down, and I didn't even have my phone near me. You know, trying to be present with my friends, and I was like, "Let me just go check my phone real quick." And I had 75 missed text messages from my work group chat. I had a million Twitter X notifications. Yeah. I'm seeing ranting into Carolina. I'm like, oh boy, I'm sorry. I need to step away from this dinner for like a few seconds. See what the heck is going on.
Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I was so we were blown away by it as well. And I remember one of the first tweets I saw that night was Taylor Hall looks like he's on the moon. Okay, well that's fine. We figured that. And then the Carolina, and then the Rantanen kind of thing. He came out before I ask you that question, and I'll get into it in a minute. The only thing I'm trying to understand about this whole deal is that look, it was a gutsy move by Colorado. It was very gutsy. Rantanen, one of the top 10 in the league and one of the top players in the game. But when he came out recently and said, look, I would have taken a discount to stay in Colorado, I was shocked by how quickly this kind of came together. That, to me, is where I'm having trouble wrapping my head around this. So why did this all of a sudden happen so quickly?
That's a great question. That's a question I'm trying to figure out, too, right? You know, I've been listening to people's different takes on it, and one that I thought was pretty interesting was with Mikko coming out and saying I was willing to take a discount. Well, what's a discount, right? I mean, it's all relative. Are we talking like 2%? Are we talking $100,000? You know, what is it? It could be anything. And so that's where, and I'm not bashing Rantanen by any means. He's one of my favorite players that I've ever had the privilege to work with. Right. It just is interesting from his perspective to phrase it that way. But what I think is even more interesting, and I don't know if either of you had the opportunity to listen to Nathan McKinnon's post-game comment after that, that game on, it must have been Saturday, right? Yeah. Yep, the trade happened Friday, and then that was on Saturday. And look, Nate is a man of very few words when it comes to interviews. He's not overly chatty. He's really not usually enthused. Exactly. Yeah. It's just not how he is, and that's fine. This had to be the most engaged I've ever seen him in an interview, ever. So being able to watch that, and again, feeling like, oh man, I wish I was there to be able to witness this and even feel the vibe in the room after a trade like that. But I do think it was portrayed through that interview that Nate didn't know what the heck was going on. And this really, really caught him off guard. And that's what I think is very interesting and raises a lot of question marks of why didn't your reigning MVP, why didn't your superstar have any idea that this was a possibility? I mean, I think it was a quote for quote was, I didn't think in a million years that Rantanen would be traded.
Right.
And so that is very interesting to me. On top of Rantanen coming out saying that he was willing to make a deal and, you know, maybe leave some money on the table, which we see players do very often. And it's a very, you know, selfless way to love your team and to make a cup run. We saw Devontae do it a couple seasons ago. I mean, even Kale McCarr, you could argue, has done that. Jonathan Drouin as well. But, you know, with Leon Draisaitl getting his new deal and them having that same agent connection, it feels like maybe there was just this push to get a little bit more. Right. And perhaps the agent alone, maybe, you know, I don't know. I'm not a professional athlete. I don't know how closely they work together on these things. So maybe it was just the agent pushing a little too hard without getting Rantanen involved in the seriousness of, hey, there is a chance that this might not work out for us.
Right.
And maybe it's Colorado drawing a hard, hard, vivid line in the sand saying, no, this is all we have and we're not giving and taking anymore. Yeah. So I think there are a couple different ways to speculate, and it's all speculation, right? We'll never really know what's
going
on.
Well, not for a while anyways. Yeah, not for a while. For sure. It feels like almost more of a hardline Vegas approach that Colorado was taking in this case. And just like Vegas has been relatively cutthroat. And I say that in a very respectful way in dealing with their personnel. And if it's not working, they're going to move you out, right? It feels like this is almost a new era of that. It's not very warm and fuzzy in the NHL right now. Now that the dust is settling a little bit, however, because it is Tuesday and this was late Friday, and I know you're not with the team, but generally speaking, within the organization in Colorado, the feeling, like talk radio and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Now, how do people feel about this now that they've had time to digest it?
I do think that the fans, at least of the Avalanche fan base, are educated enough to understand that it's a business move on both sides. You know, it's a business move from the Avs and then from Mikko and his agent as well. And I do think that they're cautiously optimistic about what's to come. I think it's difficult for anyone to have a hard opinion on this trade until the trade deadline comes and goes.
Of course.
Right? I mean, I think it's the idea that Chris McFarland, Joe Sakic, the Avalanche front office, they have something else up their sleeves and this is not it. Because if you're looking at just this trade and what the Avs gained and lost from this trade, they didn't win the trade. Carolina won the trade, and then Chicago's just whatever. Carolina won this trade, right? They got Mikko Rantanen, one of the best wingers in the NHL. And so if you're looking at it just in that very, you know, small bubble, then yeah, you should be upset because we lost Mikko Rantanen. And we got two decent players from it, don't get me wrong. And that's where things get
Marty Natchez is playing pretty well. Marty Natchez is not nothing,
He's not nothing, but he's not Mikko Rantanen. And I do think that's why fans are a little upset. So I think it's, again, cautiously optimistic of let's see what happens come March 7th, come the trade deadline, and see what else Colorado has up their sleeve. I do think that there's this trust in the Avs organization in the front office that this was the right move to get it done. You know, maybe it was a little bit quicker than fans are used to. We saw what the Avs did with Alexander Georgiev and goaltending and sitting on him for a while and waiting to make that move and waiting to make that decision. It's like, man, that took a really long time and you were really trying to see what you were going to get out of Georgiev before getting rid of him. Why did this Rantanen thing, it just felt so abrupt, but it was just a different approach. And you know, we don't know what goes on behind the scenes. I'm sure these conversations have been in the works for several weeks now, but I think the abruptness of it and the caliber of the player that Rantanen is why it was, you know, so harsh from the fans. But to answer your question, I do think that people are coming around to it because there's this possibility of, well, what's next? What else are we getting from this? Because if you look back to the 2022 season when the Avs won the Stanley Cup, they made, a lot of moves around the trade deadline, leading up to the trade deadline. And they had depth from top to bottom. And right now, they're just not seeing that, or they weren't seeing that. It was very top heavy in that first line, right? It was very top heavy with Rantanen, with McKinnon, with McCarr. And maybe, you know, Casey Mittelstadt isn't perhaps performing the way that the team had hoped to at center. And Jonathan Drouin has been very injured. Gabe Landeskog still hasn't returned. So they're not having that trickle down effect up and down throughout the lineup. So they probably felt like, hey, maybe we can't afford to just stick with these top guns and we're going to have to do something with Rantanen and move him around. And of course, you know, him wanting that reported $14 million is just, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money when for a team that already has Nathan McKinnon and Kale McCarr.
Right.
This has been, this is an understatement of the year, an odd season in Colorado. If I said to you at the beginning, hey, Rachel, in September in training camp, okay, so here's what's going to happen. The goalies will be gone. Rantanen will be traded. Colorado will be trying to solidify some sort of playoff spot toward the end of January. You'd probably think I'm absolutely crazy. I know hockey is a nut crazy sport. We don't know what's going to happen from one night to the next, but how would you summarize the season for Colorado?
a roller coaster.
Yeah.
A roller coaster of emotions, yeah. Right? Because it's been so up, down. They win in clusters. They lose in clusters. I mean, even in this last probably 10, 15 stretch, it feels like it's win one, lose one, win one, lose one. And it's just kind of back and forth. It, for a while, it felt like they were winning games that maybe they, quote, shouldn't, and then losing games that they, again, quote, shouldn't. So just the inconsistency is what maybe made it feel a little bit like a roller coaster throughout the season. And especially right. out the gates, like we can't forget how this team started
right.
on that losing streak. And, mm-hmm. you know, everyone was pointing fingers at goaltending and perhaps rightfully so. I mean, goaltending was struggling, but then, you know, the organization goes out, makes a huge trade for two awesome goaltenders yep. who have really transformed everything around this team. I mean, even within the room, things have gotten better and lighter, but they're still not quite finding a way to string together enough wins at a time and just not totally being consistent, but injuries. And it just feels like we have this conversation year after year yeah. with the Avs of injuries and just, you know, trying to figure that out. And you're still without your captain and Gabe Landeskog, who hasn't played a game since the Stanley Cup final in 2022. He's mm-hmm. with the team very often.
That's,
I know
Rachel,
he's on this
road
trip as
well. That's unbelievable. That's
2022? 2022. Wow. Yes, that was his last game. Yeah. And so it's, I don't know. When the Avs played the Minnesota Wilds on the road, and my weeks are all blending together, this is probably maybe 3 weeks ago, the Wilds at the time were dealing with unfathomable injuries. Right. And it was just like, okay, you know what? I don't even want to hear it. Like, the Avs have dealt with so many injuries the past few seasons that I don't know. And this is the only team that I cover, right? I'm very much all in on the Avs in that sense. So I talk to my family about that sometimes. I'm like, do other teams deal with this? And I'm just right. not as exposed to it. Yeah. Or is it really like, man, the Avs just have bad luck when it comes to injuries?
They have a lot of bad luck with Valeri Nichushkin, which is a difference
yeah.
maker on
and
that
that's
team.
Another, yeah,
definitely,
yeah.
definitely give you that. I want to belabor one point for one last second just to drive Ryan crazy. The mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier that they're not done. They're probably mm-hmm. not done making moves yet. This team has not been the same since Nazem Kadri left, especially at that second line center. Yeah. Is mm-hmm. Casey Mittelstadt the Colorado Avalanche's second line center heading into the playoffs this year?
I think that's the million-dollar question. Okay. I think, you know, heading into this season, I remember hearing from Chris McFarland when he addressed the media, talking about Casey Mittelstadt being the player that he was, or one of, you know, I shouldn't make up, put words in his mouth, one of at least the players that he was most excited about. There was a lot mm-hmm. of hype around Casey Mittelstadt. You know, he came in late last season, helped out a little bit in the playoffs, but this was our full look at Casey Mittelstadt right. in that 2C position. And I think he probably has underdelivered in a sense, and mm-hmm. it's not for a lack of
effort. Yes, he has. He has underdelivered. Yes,
yeah. It's tough, you know, because I never want to bash these players. Mm-hmm. I know they're working really hard, and I know Casey's working really hard, and I know he's having meeting after meeting with the coaching staff, trying to get things done and trying to figure it out. And he'll have splashes here and there. I mean, I know he scored in our last homestand, and mm-hmm. I think he just needs to build on that confidence a little bit. I believe Jared Bednar has noted a few times he's passing a little bit more than he would like him to shoot. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's some kind of move, some kind of shift at 2C heading into the playoffs. I also think that they would probably want another strong defenseman in the mix.
Right.
Which is interesting because entering the season, we had too many defensemen. It was like, oh, well, there's, you know, it's a battle here for defensemen. You know, and then they bring in Sam Malinsky, who's gotten some really great time at the NHL level. But then he'll be a little streaky there too of like, oh, well, he's not really contributing offensively as much as we'd like him to. So I do wonder, and Josh Manson has been dealing with an injury and not yeah. really playing up to his own personal standards. So they're dealing with a little bit there that I do wonder if they will make changes at 2C to get someone, perhaps maybe even a little bit more experienced. Casey's still quite young. And then also a strong, gritty defenseman, I think, is probably what they could use.
It's on the wish list for all these teams, right? Yeah. That are on the ball.
Right?
It's like, hey, what are you asking for? Well, a 2C and a strong defenseman. It's
right.
Hockey's, yeah, it's a
but
game.
But look,
chess.
They got the goaltending figured out.
They
and
do.
For me, that was the biggest
big.
Concern,
that,
yeah. right? That was huge. And not only your starting goaltender, but a backup as well. I mean, you completely mm-hmm. revamp your goaltending tandem, and that has been huge. I mean, those two, the what are we calling it? The wood shop, the.
Okay, right.
The wood wall, I don't know, whatever, yeah. you know, Mackenzie Blackwood and yeah. Scott Wedgwood, but yeah.
Quick about, anytime we have somebody on who covers teams, I always ask them about the head coach because, you know, us not covering them and we see yeah. from a distance, we see the pregame, postgame, in-game, on the TV, whatever. Give us a sense as to who Jared Bednar is, kind of off the ice more so than what we see behind the bench.
Oh, Jared's wonderful. Yeah. He approaches the media with such grace. Again, he's the only professional coach that I've covered for this length of time. Mm-hmm. I've been around before my time with the Avs. I was covering college a lot. Covered the New Orleans Saints for a little smidge. Mm-hmm. So this has kind of been a larger sample size of just being around a professional coach.
Right.
But he is so kind and so warm and answers every question. And so even keel, right? It takes a lot to get him feeling very up or very down.
Yeah.
And so whenever, if you ever see a clip of Jared Bednar being animated in a negative or a positive way, just know that something either really good or really bad happened, because it's typically like, we're always right here. But no, he's wonderful. And, you know, he's been around the organization for so long. And I think he has a really good hand on the team and what they want. And, you know, treating Gabe Landeskog as that other coach, I think, has helped along the way too, to maybe make that coach to player connection. But yeah, Jared's fantastic.
Taking just a slightly broader view of the West right now, briefly, before we go and launch into our favorite segment, popular the world over, 77.
Oh yeah, no, it's a game changer. Yeah.
Taking a look at the West in general, who's a team right now? Do I want to say besides the Winnipeg Jets? Yes, I do. Because the Winnipeg Jets are just that little extra right now on top.
Mm-hmm.
Who's a team in the West that maybe if you're supporting the Colorado Avalanche, you do not want to see perhaps line up in the first round in April?
I don't think I want to see the Stars again.
Okay.
I think that's, you know, for whatever reason.
I wouldn't want to either.
The Avs and the Stars, it just doesn't work for me. It hasn't worked for them in recent years for the Avs. And so I'd say the Stars. I think the Wild have been quite pesky too, though,
yes.
Especially when they are healthy and if they have that ability to get healthy. And, you know, the Jets are scary and they've been scary from the get-go. But if you can find a way to beat Connor Hellebuck, which the Avs did in the playoffs last year.
That's right.
You know, it's a possibility. So part of me would like to see the Avs and the Jets go at it again a little bit, just because this regular season hasn't been successful for the Avs against them, with Connor Hellebuck just playing so well. And even, you know, leading into the last time the Avs faced the Jets at home in Denver, talking to a couple of the players and Jared Bednar about, like, oh man, what does it take to beat Connor Hellebuck? Like, I know this is a $1 million question. And Jared was like, well, yeah, he's fantastic. He's not their only player. You know, they're good up and down the lineup. They have a very strong defensively, great on the forecheck. So, I don't know. I just think getting another shot at Connor Hellebuck in the playoffs just to do it twice would be very interesting. But yeah, the Stars, meh.
Just picking up quickly before we get 77 seconds with you on what you just said about, you know, the Winnipeg Jets are more than just Connor Hellebuck. That's incredible how, again, a goaltender or someone can get in the minds of the opposition.
Yep.
And then that's it. You're done. Hellebuck's great. Yeah, great. But he's just one player. He's a pretty big one, but he's just one player. Okay, 77 seconds. I briefed Rachel about this already, so she's good to go.
It's just fun.
I know, and I told you that. I said, yeah, and I did say, I specified that nobody has taken the 77 seconds. Everyone's gone over. So Victoria used to have a stopwatch, but she's ditched that. So don't worry about the time.
Ryan lost his mind about that, about putting pressure on our guests. So I dumped the stopwatch, yes.
Come on.
I dumped that part.
For a while, so let me know if you need to cut me off.
Okay, this is I'll just hit the mute button. We're all good. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. 77 seconds with Rachel. Who wins the West?
I mean, I work for the team. Like, I got, come on.
Okay, okay. Even with the biases, you say Colorado. Okay, fair enough.
I'll say Colorado.
Okay.
It'll be tough. But
okay.
Go ahead, Vic.
I like the optimism.
Yeah.
Does Cale Makar win the Norris?
You know, I said stick to my bias. I think this year has been a little inconsistent for Cale to win the North.
Interesting. I was not anticipating that at all. Okay.
I think we haven't seen the best of Cale yet in this stretch.
Okay.
That's like the blockbuster trade on Friday. Shocked with that one. Favorite interview?
Can be anybody.
Okay, well, if I was thinking about the players, Mikko Rantanen was one of my favorite interviews.
Okay.
And this is where it really hurts.
And
this is where the trade, like, feels personal.
And why?
he's so friendly and okay. he's so kind and he's goofy up until you put the camera in his face and then he like buttons up and gets serious for yeah. you and he'll never say no. He's one of the ones I'll look to after a loss, like the dread is lost when you're a reporter and have to go in the locker room post game and it just stinks, right? Especially after a tough loss. And I know that if I go to Miko, it's going to be okay. You know, he's not going to snap at me or think that my question is pushy or anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have somebody quickly outside the organization, maybe that you've been able to chat with and sat down with that really left you with an impression, somebody who's not on the team?
Ooh, outside of the organization?
Mm-hmm. No is a perfectly acceptable answer.
I don't think it's really an interview per se, but our community relations department is really awesome. And they do a lot of great stuff that I think people don't understand that, yes, it's my job to help tell those stories as right. a team reporter and show what the team is doing in the organization or in the community. Our head of CR, Deb Dowling, is an absolute angel and bends over backwards to make sure that we are using all of the funds raised for charity in the best way possible. And I just adore everything that she does. So anytime I have the opportunity to chat with Deb about what, you know, CR event is coming up next, that's always a joy for me.
That is awesome.
That was very, very awesome. Your favorite moment covering the Avalanche so far, not the day they won the Stanley Cup. It can be cup related, yeah. but not because that's the best day, right?
For sure.
FOMO,
you know, they won on the road. I wasn't there. I was hosting a watch party from inside Ball Arena. So that was really awesome, but it wasn't the same as being in Tampa. So I'd say just leading up to the cup. I mean, it's so interesting the way the city changes when the Stanley Cup final is happening in your city, right? I mean, it's just the stakes are higher. The energy's up. The attention from the media is there. So just that week leading up to it, like the media for sessions sure. leading up to it, I mean, it just felt so fancy. It's also so high end, right? Like seeing so many important people in town and the lights and the cameras. And it just was like, wow, this is really happening. This is super cool. That was probably one of my favorite moments.
We wouldn't know that recently in Toronto. So that's something that's...
yeah.
Oh, it's fine. Rachel, okay, you're done. No, I'm just kidding. Three more. Favorite way to spend an off day in Colorado?
Oh my goodness. Favorite way to spend an off day. I love everything outdoorsy. It was a big pull for me to want to move here, and which is why I'm never leaving either. I love it here so much. The weather is amazing. I love all the outdoorsy stuff, like I mentioned. So hiking, skiing, depending on the time of year, and just being outside, hanging out with my dog, who is very upset with me right now because I'm talking and he thinks I'm talking to him. But
well, we'll wrap it up. We'll wrap it up quickly. I've hiked a little bit in and around the Denver area and up in Boulder, and it is absolutely stunning up there.
Oh,
it is
beautiful!
Absolutely stunning. What's your favorite food, and why is it crawfish from Louisiana?
Crawfish from Louisiana.
I do my research.
Yeah, we have a crack research team here, Rachel.
Yeah. 10 out of 10 for you. Crawfish etouffee and or specifically made by my stepdad and or boiled crawfish. It's my favorite. I'll never get sick of it. I would eat it every day if I could.
Oh,
it's the best. It tastes like home, and I didn't realize how much it tasted like home until I moved away.
Right. So.
Last one. How long can you hold a handstand?
Oh.
When's the last time you did try to hold a handstand?
Can I lean against the wall at all?
Yes. You get wall aided.
You know, I don't know if I've ever timed myself, but I think up there a couple minutes, I bet.
Impressive.
I'm against the wall, you know, like getting the shoulders in.
Have some
support.
Depends
on if it was like right after the workout or not.
I think a couple minutes is very impressive.
Oh, it's very impressive.
Maybe, now I'm going to go test that tomorrow, and it's going to be like 5 seconds, and I'll have to let you know I'm a total liar.
Get back to us, and we'll make sure that we include it in the blurb on social media.
Sure. Rachel, thank you. This has been great. Get back to your dog, and I would love to do this again with you, so really appreciate the time.
Yeah, absolutely. This is very fun. Thank you both for having me on. Appreciate it.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.